Joining me is a Professor Anton Haber. He's, of course, a professor of journalism at Fitz University. And we wanted to put that question to him. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and it's good to speak to your audience. This is a very interesting story. It can be very funny. It can be very sad. But certainly we're all thinking about what it means for the media and for journalism and for issues of credibility. So your question was...
Why this story? Why did this story become one that so deeply offended the community, the media community?
Well, there's a number of factors. The first is that all media were caught in a dilemma. Because on the one hand, if it's true, you need to report it. But it was in the first few days, it was very hard to know whether or not it was true. Mm. So everyone felt and experienced that dilemma. But secondly, you know, it's partly because it came from independent newspapers and Pretoria News and Pete Rampedi, the editor there. Firstly, because Pete is somebody who was previously had his credibility called into question over the SARS rogue unit story. He left the Sunday Times in disgrace. One thought that his career as a journalist was over because he continued to support that absurd story, and they parallel because, you know, they were adamant that SARS had run a brothel and they could never produce the brothel. It was not unlike saying somebody's had decapitates and nobody could ever see them or any evidence of them at all. So it was like a repeat. And you see, what happened with Pete is that he was rehired by Iqbal Survey at Independent Newspapers and made editor. And it was a signal of just how rogue that newspaper group had become. They had really turned their back on any sense of journalistic quality or practice or principle or ethics. So even the National Editors Forum, which normally doesn't speak about newspapers that are its members, spoke out because Independent Newspapers is not one of their members. So I think people are outraged that they did things which hurts all of journalism, hurts all of us and all of our credibility in such a foolish and selfish and self-serving way.
Is this different to how other fake news finds its way into media? Because we have seen, and in fact, I chaired a wonderful panel some months ago, and it was with Ferial Hafiji and Mandy Wiener, and I was asking everybody, we were just talking about fake news and COVID at the time, and I went around the group and I said, have any of you been caught with a story? And everybody had. There was an embarrassment, and it was actually a wonderful moment because it was a moment of real authenticity and actually showed the vulnerability of journalists, because it's I think everybody's biggest nightmare as a journalist. So everybody's had this experience. This one somehow just made everybody crazy.
Well, I think it's absolutely true that although journalists these days are more and more on their guard about disinformation, some stuff does get through. Journalists make mistakes. Journalists get misled. Stories get planted. But the critical factor is that as soon as you realize that you've made a mistake or you've been misled,
Oh, we seem to have lost the line. Can you hear us now? No, we seem to have lost the professor. We will get him back. We, of course, are talking about the Pete Rampedi story, the one that he broke, allegedly, on the decapitates, which, in fact, was a completely, completely fake and had very little credibility. What I would like to understand is, what does it say about journalism in South Africa? Professor, are you back with us?
I'm back. I'm not sure what happened. Sorry about that.
No problem at all.
But so what I was saying is that mistakes happen. Journalists and editors mess up. But the point is, your obligation is to correct it firmly, clearly, unequivocally as soon as possible and bury the embarrassment, you know, get rid of it by clearing your conscience.
Own it.
What's happened here is that Mr. Rampedi in the Independent newspapers has just continued to dig deeper and deeper. He's still saying he stands by his story. So it's outraged journalists that somebody should be just so immune to the obvious. There's something very wrong here when you can stand by a story without any evidence
absolutely.
At all.
So does this say something about him and his newspaper, or does it say something about journalism in general in South Africa? What is our level of, I don't know if the word integrity is the right word, but of accuracy maybe in our journalism in this country?
No, look, we have some very fine journalists and very fine outlets in this country that you can trust. Mm. That even when they make mistakes, tell you as quickly as possible they've made mistakes. And I think that's true of most of our journalists and outlets. So this talks to the Independent group and Pete Rampedi and his proprietor, Iqbal Thurday. It's really them that have gone rogue, that have thrown the basic principles of journalism out the window, that really have become a bunch of charlatans and rogues. And it really speaks to them and their lack of professionalism and trust, trustworthiness.
Is there a takeaway lesson for journalists in South Africa?
I think, and I've written, that we all need to be thinking about how it is that such an important newspaper group, such a large newspaper group, can fall into the hands of rogues and charlatans who are not accountable for behaving in that way. So we have to look at how we make journalists more accountable. I'm not suggesting greater regulation and controls.
No,
I think it's something
balance,
we need to look at in the profession because, you know, we don't want to harm freedom of expression, but we do want to stop this kind of deliberate spreading of clearly untrue stories.
We do indeed, unfortunately.
Let me say this.
Yeah, yeah.
A great deal depends on the reader, the consumer of the news. Because at the end of the day, it's up to the consumer to be skeptical. That's a consumer to say, I trust this outlet and this journalist, but not that one. And to turn their backs on journalists and newspapers that behave this way. And actually, it's true of advertisers as well. Advertisers should be thinking, why do they support and back newspapers that behave in this way?
Mm. Well, I guess the other thing, signaling for me to wrap up, but it's too interesting a conversation. The other aspect, of course, is social media, because this is now a new platform. We know that there's the genesis of fake news, then there's the publication of fake news, and then there's the consumption of it. But the publication of it is pretty easy today as well with social media. So that provides, of course, a completely different level of responsibility that's not only on the publication or the platform, but also on the consumer.
Yes, and that depends entirely on the consumer not to believe everything at face value and not to share information that is not verified and in fact can be harmful. So we really need to teach our children, to teach our grandparents.
I'm going to say mother-in-law, I'm going to say mother-in-law as well.
We really need to teach media literacy and have everyone say, hold on a minute.
Yeah. Is this?
This is a far-fetched story. I'm not going to share it or respond to it until it's verified by a source I trust.